Welcome to
And
the
see.
Money Buddha podcast, where I chat with people who I admire, people who really follow the things that light them up in business and in life. And our guest today does exactly that. He's the visionary behind Fusion Productions, which has captivated over 20,000 guests across 9 successful productions. He's collaborated with over 800 local artists to enrich these performances. With a marketing degree and numerous business awards, his strategic vision propels Fusion towards new heights. His art has sold over 4,000 paintings in 20 plus countries since 2007, and his philanthropist efforts has raised over $200,000 for charities. So with that, we'll get into it. Let me introduce you to Matt LeBlanc.
Hello,
Hi, Matt. I'm so excited to have you on. And we've been chatting about it for a while, so
yes,
we can we
yes,
finally found a time and we're doing it.
yes. Thanks for the invitation. It's been quite busy, I have to say. So finally, we're finding time to do this, which is
Amazing.
amazing. So I always listen to your podcast. So I'm
So
happy to be on board.
yay, I'm so excited. Thank you so much. And I was flattered when you told me you listened to my podcast, so that's it. I forget I do these and then I forget people actually listen to them.
People do, yeah, people do. That's good.
Amazing. Okay, so I basically we've kind of known of each other or like know each other a little bit for like many years now, I feel like.
Yeah.
And we always have nice conversations when we see each other or the times that we have. So tell me about right now, you're full-blown into Fusion 2024, or I don't know what the name is or anything. I don't know anything yet, so you're gonna tell me live
Yes,
right now.
absolutely.
Can you maybe start with I guess start with your journey of how did you get to this point? Because you're doing something, then became an artist is when I kind of discovered you back then, and then it transformed into all of the stuff that you're doing now. So can you kind of
Yeah.
take us back so someone that doesn't know you kind of know the story and then we'll get into fusion stuff.
Yes, absolutely. So it's been quite a journey, I have to say. If Matt from 15, 16 years ago would see this, I think he would be kind of surprised because it's not really, it wasn't a like a planned journey. So, but it was a fun one. And like any other business, I definitely had some ups and downs over the years. But that's the whole thing behind being an entrepreneur, right? So I've started all this quite a while ago. I started an interest in art. So there's a long story for that, but basically my wife was buying art off the internet at that time. And this was probably what, 15, 17 years ago? I can't remember now. I'm getting old. We're getting old, Janine.
We're getting old, I know.
Yeah, and you know, she was buying that art online and it was coming home. And for some reason, I was like, I kind of feel like I can do this, right? You know, a guy, like we always say stuff like that, like, I can do this, right?
How hard can
So,
it be?
yeah, how hard can it be, right? Which kind of, I found it frustrating over the years when people were actually telling me that when I was doing this for a living. But, anyways, so one night she was working because she's a nurse. And so I said, okay, I'm just going to go out and buy some art supply and just pull a prank on her, right? So I created my first piece, which by the way, I still have to this day, and it's super ugly. And when she came back from work, I showed her the piece. I'm like, hey, I bought another one. And she was kind of looking at it and she said, oh, okay, it's nice. Yeah, we can put it somewhere. Right? So I started laughing and then I showed her the art supplies. And I said, oh, I actually did it myself. And at first, she kind of laughed, right? And she's like, no, you didn't do that, blah, blah, blah. And then finally, she realized. And so that's kind of how it started. And I find it was very interesting to actually create something. So my background was I've studied marketing at the University of Moncton. I actually started in engineering. So never thought I was like extremely creative, But when I was working in marketing, I always loved the creative side, right? So I kind of felt at that time that this was something new, that I could just kind of be creative and have fun. So my second piece I actually sold to my mom, which was my first sale. She actually loved it, but I think she bought it to support me, right? And this was at the time that Facebook was kind of starting out, right? So Facebook was all new. So at that time, when you were posting something on Facebook, everyone was seeing it, right? Every one of your friends. It's totally not that today, but so I started posting stuff, and I think my first official sale outside my family was from a guy in Nova Scotia, which we still interact from time to time now. He's really proud that he's got the third piece. So, and that's kind of how it started, right? So I started posting stuff, selling stuff. So I did that for a couple of years, and all of a sudden it was super, super, super busy. And I decided to do my first solo show as an artist. So if you know anything about the art world, typically an artist is going to do like a, what they call like a vernissage, which is essentially they promote an event where they hang their art and then they invite people to come over and see the art, right? So coming from a business background, entrepreneurship background, having studied business, I was like, there's no way I'm going to do that. I have to do something different, right? So that's kind of what I was thinking for kind of my first event, and I didn't know what to do. And then I had this idea, and I was doing some fundraising as well. So I've, for people that are close to me, they'll tell you that I've done a lot of fundraising in my years in business. So I feel it's really important. So growing up, I lost my sister to cancer. So she was, I've actually never met her. So I'm the youngest. She was the oldest. But the rest of my family, my brother, my sister, they had the chance to meet her. So she died when she was only five, right? So growing up, I was always like, okay, I want to do something in her memory. What can I do, right? So growing up, I was like, okay, I'm going to volunteer in her memory, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I didn't really know what to do. But then some day it just hit me. I said, why not do this massive campaign where I would paint a bunch of pieces and sell it, and then gave the money to charity in her memory, right? So I didn't want to do like a small project. I'm all about doing big things, right? So I started thinking. I said, okay, like what could be the number, right? Am I doing 10 pieces? Am I doing 20? I decided it was a little bit nuts. I was kind of young back then, but I decided on 200 pieces. So 200 pieces in 6 months. So that's like 1.2 something a day, right? But the whole idea was that I wanted to dedicate myself to this project. So I wanted a specific amount of time and say, okay, for 6 months, every day, I'm going to be in my studio, bang, 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 and I'm going to work on this. And then it's going to show people that when you have cancer, it doesn't go away, right? So you fight it every day. So even when I was super tired, and I was working full time back then, I was working for an advertising agency. Alex, my son, was very young. Colette, my wife, she's a nurse, so shift work, right? So it was the hardest project I ever did, right? So day in and day out, blah, blah, blah. But it was the best project I ever did. So all the pieces were sold before they were even finished, right? So at the end of that project, I gave all the money back to the Tree of Hope, L'Arbre de l'Espoir, which supports a lot of cancer patients in the area. And at the end, I decided to do an event. And that was my first official vernissage or art show, whatever what you want to call it. And we've displayed everything at the Art and Culture Center in Dieppe, and it was actually the first event there at that venue at that time, so which was super excited. And all the 200 pieces were hung, and then all the donors or people who bought the art had the chance to come over, see everything. And then I made an event out of it. So I had like a chef cooking food. I had a couple singers. I had dancers. I had, you know, stuff happening, right? I didn't want to just have the art and people just come for the art, right? So I'm a little bit shy that way, meaning that I want to put the spotlight on something else and not myself, right? So I was like, okay, that's my art. I did it. Okay, well, let's put the spotlight on someone else. So I had all these artists. I had this going on, which was great. So I did it for my sister, but it inspired the next 13 years, right? So it was such a success. People really loved it. Then the next year I came back and I did the first fusion. So I actually considered doing a fundraiser again, but I was like, no, there's no way. Like, it was, and the Tree of Hope, I remember the president at that time, he came over to my house and he tried to convince me to do it again. I'm like, dude, no. It literally almost killed me, right? Like, people don't realize like how much work. Yes, it's abstract art, but it's a bunch of layers, right? And sometimes it doesn't work. You go back, you start again, you add layers, like, you know, the young Matt was like, I could do this, but it's not as easy as it sounds, right? So there was so much work involved. But I'm so happy I did it. So, you know, I really believe that my sister was watching over me, right? So.
Oh my gosh, that's such a beautiful story. I didn't know about any of that. I don't think maybe it, like, I might have knew a little bit about a few things, but not all of that.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know it because I had a good art career after that. Like, I, you know, I was very blessed to have many clients, different countries, mostly Canada and US, but, you know, overseas. I've done big project. I've been on HGTV a couple times with my art, and it opened so many doors. And you know, I had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it. But now I feel that I've really shifted my career, and now I would say I'm probably 98% into the shows now. And the reason for that is I feel I can be so much more creative with a show versus a blank canvas, right? So it's always so intimidating being in front of a white blank canvas, because you have to put, you know, the colors, and it has to look great, right? But it's even worse for a show because a lot of people pay to see the show, right? So everything needs to be smooth. There's so much work, so much planning involved. Like, it's just crazy. Like, people don't realize it. Like, people show up, they're like, oh, this was a great show, I had a good time. They leave, they talk about their friends a little bit, but no one really knows. Like, it's such, like, it's a year and a half to 2 years work condensed in like 7 months, right? Like, it's crazy, crazy, the amount of work. Because if people, like, if you have some listeners that don't know anything about the show, like, we do everything, like, from costume design, putting the costumes together. Like, I often paint everything. So paint the costume, paint the props, the set decor, design. We have a story, we have characters, and then every shows there's probably between 50 to 75 artists. Like, this year it's gonna be the biggest show ever this year, and we're close to 100 artists. So all local artists, all different genres, singers, dancers, acrobats. That's why it's called fusion. So it's like a fusion of all different forms of art, right? So but going back to my point, I think that's why I love it so much, is every time it's a new challenge, every time it's a new canvas, versus being condensed into a 2 feet by 2 feet canvas. And then the client is like, I want red, I want black, I want this, I want that, right? So, but the show, it's so more like so many options. And then we're like testing with projections and a lot of costumes this year. are going to have LED lights in them. And then our show, which we can talk about a little bit after, it's going to be in an arena this year. So we're working on like bigger props and bigger costumes, and everything's going to be bigger, right? But bigger means more expensive, but it's just going to be that much cooler, right? So.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm really excited about that. So I've been to Fusion. I had just had Teo. And so he was like a few months old, like maybe a month or two. Like he was very new. And it was our first outing after having the baby. And it was so much fun. For me, being there, and it felt really, really inspiring. I think there was a young, was that there? I feel like it was. So this was 2015, and my memory isn't always the best, but I feel like there was a
14,
young.
But whatever.
Yeah. So I think there was a young, like up and coming, like he was playing guitar on the stage. Was that it? Is that something else? Am I mixing two things together?
Yeah, it could be. I think
did you have like someone
just
before?
to confirm, it's been 10 years. You haven't.
Yeah, for you too.
Just to confirm, it's been 10 years since you've attended one of my shows. But
I know. Oh my gosh, I feel bad. Yeah.
No. Oh no, it's crazy. But listen, we lost 4 years because of the pandemic. That was insanely brutal for anyone in this business. Obviously, other industries have been really affected, but all the event industry. And now, after that long pandemic, like things are even harder. Like it's just an industry that's going to take, I think, a lot of years to come back, and there's a lot of challenges. But yeah, so 10 years ago, that would have been probably, it was at the casino, right?
It was at the casino, yeah.
So probably one of the first show at the casino, like
I
either
think it was one of
Aaliyah.
your first fusions, I feel like. And then
Yeah, it wasn't like the first two were at the Art Center in Dieppe.
Okay.
And then we switched to the casino.
No.
I'm looking over there because all the posters are on the wall. But so then we've done Aaliyah, we've done Artificis, Magica, Tuco 1, Tuco 2, Jaha, and Akiko last year.
Oh my
So we've done, like this year is going to be in June, the next show is going to be our 20th event, which is going to be the 10th production. Again, we lost 4 years because of the pandemic. So once you go this year, Jalin, you're going to notice like a huge change, right?
I can
So
imagine.
like every year, and I'm still looking at the posters, because like if the listeners could see the poster, they would understand, because you really, and I love that wall, because you really see the transition. So you see the transition in all the shows, the magnitude, but also in the marketing. So it was, and I'll be honest, at first, the first couple fusion, I wanted to sell art. That's what I wanted to do, right?
Right.
So,
Okay.
but then after doing that for 2 years, I was like, people are not going to go every year to buy art, right? Like I got to innovate. I got to do something different. So then year three, everything changed. We went to the casino, we've added a story, but there was no costume, and the story was just a narration. So the year after, we started adding costumes, but for some reason, not everyone had costumes, which now that I think about it, it's a little bit weird, but I think I ran out of time.
Right.
Or
It happens.
Money. We're
Yeah.
not sure. Time or money. And the year after, in Magica, I feel that we really, really hit the mark, meaning that we had visuals. So it was a visual story. So it was in video format so people can understand more of the story. And then everyone had costumes. We spent a lot of time on costumes that year. So Magica was well received, and it was the first show we actually went on the road. So we went to Caraquet with that show. Personally, from a show producer, I didn't particularly like Magica because I always had the pressure to add, right? So like everyone was saying, well, not everyone, but a lot of people were saying like, what is Matt going to do this year? Like, you
Right,
know,
a lot of
is he going to go
pressure.
bigger? Is he like, I'm looking forward to see. So I always felt the pressure over the years to always go bigger, 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 until I realized you don't need to go bigger. Just go better, right? Be better. So after Magica, I remember the next day I was like, man, like it was too long. The show was too long. And when it's too long, you lose people. People start talking. People lose interest a little bit. And then all that work that you put in, like some people are disappointed because there's too much noise around them. They don't understand what's going on, right? So from a, probably 95% of the people there, they're like, oh, it was great, it was great. But from a producer standpoint, I was like, I got to change things. So I really feel that Tuco, the next year, we really hit the mark. So we started streamlining everything. For the first time, I had a production person with me, which is Janik, the owner of Chaos. She brought to the table a lot of stuff that I needed, right? So, and I started surrounding myself with more people, right? So, people that are close to me are gonna laugh and say, well, you're still backstage with the drill 10 minutes before the show, right? That's how I am. I'm super, super involved. I still remember in Fredericton a couple of years ago, right before the show, I was in the bathroom and I had the drill, right? Like on the counter, and I had bolts there, and one of my main sponsors came in, and he's like, "Matt, like I can't believe you're doing all this. Like, go mingle, like go do something else, right?" So, but sometimes, being an entrepreneur is doing all the tasks, right? And when it's showtime and there's stuff that's not done, you got to do it, right? So, I'm super, super involved that way, so.
Oh my gosh, this is the best. So for sure we're gonna go this year. You
Oh,
can
there we go. You're
be
confirmed.
down. We'll get a table. I'll wait for the info, but yes, okay, I'll commit to that. I'll round my people up.
Perfect. I got witnesses.
Okay, I know, right? I'm saying it here, so
So maybe I can, I'm sure you have other questions, but just to continue that train of thought, I'm just going to mention a little bit the other shows. So I was talking about the evolution. So I kind of felt that Tuco was kind of where we hit the mark. And that's also when we started being on the road, right? So for the longest time, and a lot of people don't know this, for the longest time, I was only doing Moncton. And now that I think about it, and I was working full time back then, right? So that was kind of hard too. So trying to put this massive production together, working full time, have kids, have family, right? But then I realized like, can't make money with this, right? Like some years I lost money, some years I just made a few bucks. So it's all the economy of scale. So if you can take this and do it more, then it becomes interesting. So I realized that after going to Caraquet the first time. So when the next year it was Cuco, then I was like, okay, we gotta be on the road more. But that offered some challenges for sure. So, because they're big shows, it's not just like a one-man band going and just renting a venue and just having a spotlight and playing guitar. Like, this is a full-on production, costumes, logistic, trucks, tech, like so much details, right? So it took us a couple years to kind of have success on the road, which kind of makes sense, right? It's like any other business. I mentor a lot of young entrepreneur, and they're always like so gung ho and so like, oh, I'm gonna make half a million next year, right? Like, and I'm always like, no. I mean, if you're lucky, yes, but it takes time, right? It takes effort. You gotta earn the respect, and you gotta earn your business. You gotta earn your client, and you gotta work super hard at keeping them. So the first show we did after Caraquet was Fredericton. So we I think we had like close to 600 people for the first time in Fredericton, and it was one guy that really believed in us, right? So every time I mentor and I talk to those young entrepreneur, I try to tell this story a little bit. I kind of feel that I've never actually had a proper mentor, but I had people over the years believe in me, a lot of people, and some of them believe in a big way that if they didn't do what they did, I wouldn't be here today, right? So, call them best friend, call them angels, call them what you want, but you need those people in your life. You need those in business to really believe, right? So so in Fredericton, it was a realtor that had attended a lot of shows in Moncton. And I called him up one day and I said, hey, I want to bring this to Fredericton. Can you sponsor me? Right. And he said yes right away. So that kind of launched the Fredericton show, because these shows are extremely, extremely expensive. And without sponsors, there's no show. And I'm typically the MC at my shows, and I tell them to everyone, and I name the sponsors. And I said, you know, that guy over there, if he didn't get the sponsorship, we're not here. Right. So it's super, super important. So I'm very appreciative of that. So same thing happened for Halifax. So we went to Halifax for the first time last year, which I've been wanted to go to Halifax for years. Love that city. We always go a few times a year. So I have a big partner in Premier Mortgages in that city. So he said, you know, how can we bring this to Halifax? Because their head office is in Halifax. So he believed in me, and we did two shows, and we're doing three shows this year. So you kind of need those people to believe, right? Another partner investors group is the same way. They're like, okay, we love this. We love what you're doing. We love your mission. We love that you support charities, all those artists. So we want to do a show in St. John. So we're doing St. John, right? So you need those people to believe in what you're doing. So it's not about one person. It's just a collection of different people that believe in the dream, right? So that's kind of how I look at it.
Wow. I feel like, especially with your shows, it's all collaboration. Like, it's fully, it's very like community based. It's local. It's like so many people involved to create shows like yours is like other level
collab. Absolutely. And a lot of people don't know this, and I'm still surprised, because we always broadcast it, but we actually recruit locally for all the shows. So meaning when we go to Caraquet, it was 100% Caraquet artists, or the greater region, right? So because we had some from Miramichi, we had some from Batters,
right.
Same thing in Halifax, we did some audition, we were crew locally. So anyone in this business would say, oh my god, you're freaking crazy. Right? And they would be right.
Wow.
Because it's a logistic nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Logistic nightmare. But it's what Fusion is all about.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So I really feel that Fusion is a community driven event. It's all about giving those young artists that didn't have the chance to be on the big stage, to be in front of their community, be in front of their parents. And, you know, we take them on, we give them free training for weeks and weeks. We give them the costumes, we do the makeup. A lot of them are in photo shoots and video shoots. My daughter has danced for a long time, and it's expensive. You have to pay for everything. So
right.
We take them on, and we give all this to them. And a lot of them, it propelled them to another level, right? I have many, many artists who went on to have great careers after it. And I've actually done, during COVID, I did a bunch of videos, documentaries of the first 10 years of Fusion. And there's a couple artists, they were super young, and I did an interview with them, which now they're much older. And, you know, they said Fusion gave me the confidence. And now I'm doing my music full time, which is the biggest compliment for us, right? Like, it's so cool to see that.
Wow.
So you have a video of this little guy, like he's like 12. And now he's Fusion was my biggest first gig, right? So it's so amazing to see that kind of stuff. So,
oh my gosh, that's so touching too. Like, it feels like a full circle, right?
Absolutely. And a lot of it's funny you mentioned that, because for the first time this year, I've hired a part-time employee, and she's been in three shows, right? So she's a next dancer. And she still dances, but now she helps me a lot, you know, pre-show, and then like she handles all the performers, so she's going to communicate with them at the show. She'll be directly with me and kind of managing everyone. She'll run all the practices, she'll work in the on the production with me, so I really feel it's full circle. And we have a few assistants as well that have been in the show in the past, and now they're helping in the backstage. My daughter, she doesn't dance anymore, but she's really involved backstage. Like, she did all the shows. She's 16, so she was 15 last year. She did all the shows with us, kind of running the backstage. So it gives her a lot of experience, which is, I mean, Dad is really proud to see that, for sure.
Right.
So,
oh wow, that just that being in the dumpster in the background, like doing all of the things and seeing what can happen and how do we fix it, and that's probably like the best experience that she can get, like life experience, but like for if she whatever she wants to do in life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's probably the best experience that she's ever gonna get that will help her, like give her wings to go wherever she wants to go. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love when it's like a full like family, everyone's involved type business. Like, I find that so probably maybe chaotic sometimes or whatever, like depending on the families, but it's fun. Like, that's, I love seeing that. So that's,
yeah, no, absolutely. My wife helps a lot too. Like, I would say mostly more towards the end, because she, you know, she works full time and stuff, but she's been helping over the years, like just, you know, getting costumes together or giving her input and stuff like that. So I really, really appreciate that help, for sure. My son, he's 18. He doesn't want to do anything about this. He's like, nah, whatever. He's not into it. But definitely my daughter and my wife, they love it as well. So
it sounds about right.
My son might come around. Yeah, he's still
he's still
young.
He's still watching. He's
yeah
still
oh yeah
watching. Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Oh my gosh, okay, amazing. So if someone like when so okay where should people go to buy their tickets? What's the next step? Someone hears this, they're like, oh my gosh, I need tickets, I want to go to the show. What's next? Where do they have to go? And especially for this show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have many shows happening this year. So the first one, which is going to be the biggest show I ever did in my life, it's going to be June 14th and June 15th. So we've been at the casino in Moncton for 8 or 9 years now, I forget. And, you know, I live in Dieppe. I've been living in Dieppe for a long time. I always wanted to have my show back here, because the first one was in Dieppe, was at the Art Center, and I was actually the first show at that venue, right? So I'm super happy, super proud to announce that we're going to be the first show at the Uniplex Center. So definitely a dream come true for me to be in an arena, because it's definitely a little bit overwhelming because it's a bigger venue. But from a creative standpoint, we can do more, right? So I always look at the positive side of things. And we're going to have 2 nights. So it's the first time in my life that we're going to have 2 nights home base. So two nights here, because we had 2 nights in Halifax because it was a smaller venue. But in the Moncton area, it's going to be the first time we actually have 2 nights. So really looking forward to it. Tickets can be purchased on our website, which is fusionevent.ca, or you can just Google it. So the show is called Zorka. So for people that know the concept, we always have a name to the show. So yes, it's La Production Fusion, you know, the company name, or Fusion Production in English. but every show we brand it a specific way. And when we first started, a lot of people were just calling it Fusion. And I think locally people are still saying, are you going to the Fusion show? Are you going to the Fusion show? But what's super interesting and what I love is when we're on the road, no one knows Fusion. So last year it was like, are you going to Akiko? Are you going to Akiko? The year before, are you going to Jaha? So it's funny how it's different, right? Because I've built this show here locally. People know me as an artist. People know me as the show producer. People know me for Fusion or my fundraising activities. But when I'm on the road, people know Akiko. People don't know me. People don't know. It's really funny. But I guess that's all come down to the branding, right? So, and it people really embrace the story and the concept, which for us, we don't, it's probably one of the hardest thing of the show is really coming up with a story that's simple enough that people are going to understand. And some of the shows, it was too complicated. So we kind of learned it after, but now we try to have a really simple show. Like there's these characters, this is the task they have to do, that's the outcome. So we kind of, you know, we're trying to keep it simple because there's so much stuff going on. So what we've learned over the years is we keep all the performances quite short, like 2 minutes each. And we try to go like bang, 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 versus like a long story or long. Like I remember one year we had like, we had a musician playing before the show, but he was only supposed to play two songs, but then he decided to play four, right? So that was like 20 minutes and we're all backstage like, what is he doing? Like 20 minutes of music before a show, right? So we weren't happy and we kind of felt that, you know, it was good music, but we kind of felt that we lost the crowd, right? So you know, it's super important to engage and really like focus, right? So going back to the tickets, so tickets can be purchased on the website at La Billetterie as well at Centre d'Or. So we're doing two nights and close to 100 artists in the show. And there's a big after party as well, which for those who followed all the shows when I first started and probably the one that you attended, we used to have a live band after the show. But over the years, I had to drop it because it got super, super extremely expensive. And that was always on me to cover. And just to have like all the technician kind of wait for everything to happen, you have to pay everyone. And anyway, so, but super happy to announce that we're bringing this back this year. And I think people are going to be extremely happy. So the show is about 2 hours, but there's an intermission in between. And when the show ends, we take another intermission and we do like a quick turnover of the room. And we have like a plan after party, meaning that there's going to be live bands. They're going to be different every night. We're going to have specialty cocktails. So we're making partnership with a different supplier and they're going to create fusion inspired cocktails. And we're going to have bites, like maybe like a taco bar or stuff like that. And so I think people are really going to enjoy that because I heard that a lot over the years that they're really into it. Like the show ends and they're like, oh, okay, what do we do now? Right. We have a babysitter for a while. So what do we do now? So I think it's going to be really well received. I'm hoping anyways, because like I said, it's the first time we do two nights. So it's a little bit stressful, but we've been supported all these years. So I'm confident we should have a good crowd. So we're super happy. And if you have listeners that are outside Moncton, we're doing Carriquet. We're doing three shows in Fredericton, in Halifax, but two of them are private, meaning that it's a partnership with a corporate client. And then the third one is general public. And then we're doing Fredericton and St. John. And we're planning a couple more cities next spring, new cities. So I'm not going to name them yet because we're still working on them, but it's... it's there's definitely an expansion coming, and I always say it's not a race, it's a marathon. Like I can't add 4 or 5 shows a year. It's just not feasible. But as we grow, as people keep supporting us, we'll keep adding, and hopefully I'll make that part-time person full-time. And then we'll go from there.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I didn't realize there were that many shows this year. Or I don't know how many like per year usually, but woo.
Yeah. Eight shows in 5 cities. Wow. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, look at you.
It'll be fun.
That's awesome. You still have that ambitious wanting to do the most you can, like
yeah.
With the
Yeah,
time.
I do, but I feel like I'm not as ambitious as I was. Like now, you know how it is when you're younger, you're like, you think you're invincible and you can do anything, right? But now, like, everything is carefully planned, and we kind of think about stuff. And like I said earlier, for me now, it's about getting better, not necessarily. You know, I could turn around and try to do 15, 20 shows next year, right? Like some would try to do that, but I can tell you that some would not be successful. We would lose money here and there. And we depend a lot on sponsors as well. So for me, it's always key to get that presenting sponsor secured in a location before we do anything else. And just after the pandemic, like things are so expensive, like extremely, like we've seen venues double their price.
Oh my gosh.
Now, how is that even fair, right? Like same venue, probably less services, right? And you're doubling the rental. So from a, you know, a small company like me, just one full-time employee, which is me, like it's hard, right? To deal with that kind of stuff when someone says, okay, you paid this amount and now it's going to be double, like for no reason. Right. So we get that like different areas and shows, right? So it's that's why I said earlier, like it's an industry that it's a little bit tough now. And there's so much competition. There's so many events going on and a lot of things, right? So but I really feel we have a good product, and we have all those local artists and people. Like when we're on the road, the first thing that people say when they come to me, because I'm typically the MC, and then I like to walk around in the crowd, like before the show, intermission, and after the show, the reaction that most often is like, wow, yeah, I really love it. And then thank you for using our artists, right? Because we're so good at going somewhere and getting big name artists down, which is great. I had the chance to see great artists over the years, right? We all enjoy that, but we have to focus on our local community, local artists as well. So I said that earlier, like I really feel we have a platform to showcase those artists, which is amazing. So.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. Okay, well, I'm excited. I don't know which date we'll go, but we'll go. I'll let you know.
Yeah, awesome.
Oh my gosh, okay, thank you so much for sharing all of that with us today. And I can't wait to see the show and everyone else. Go check out the tickets. Go get your tickets, and I'll see you guys there. And Matt too.
Yes.
But yeah, thank you so much for taking time in your very busy schedule to do this. I'm really excited. And I also I'm happy about people hearing your story, because that's just a powerful story where it all started with your sister. Like that's just amazing, because I feel like sometimes we kind of have those inklings of like, oh, I should do this, or I kind of like a pull somewhere, and we don't always listen to that because we're like our brain takes over and we're like, oh well, logically maybe not, like I don't know. It's so I feel like hearing those stories is really like therapeutic for me, and probably for other people to hear whatever's tugging at them.
Absolutely. And I'll
follow that.
Yeah, and if I've learned something in business, it's if it doesn't feel right, it's probably because it's not right. But when it does feel right, when you have that little feeling inside that's like, yeah, scratch, 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 you should probably do this, listen to it. Like, listen to it. And it's hard sometimes. Like,
hard.
You know, I made some big decisions over the years, and, you know, a lot of money at stake, and you know, which all entrepreneurs go through that. And, you know, sometimes you have to listen to your gut, and, the projects that I did over the year that didn't feel right, it didn't go right, right? So
Right. I know.
it's super, super important to listen to that little voice, right? And sometimes it just comes to you, right? And I know for me, it's typically when I exercise or when I paint. I don't paint that much anymore, but I kind of feel that I had the best ideas when I actually create. Someone told me once, it's you're more open when you feel creative, right? So you're more open to messages.
Right.
So very often when I create, could be an art piece or it could be like costuming or whatever else I'm working on for my shows. It's just gonna pop in my mind, like, oh, what about this? What about that? Right? So I really feel that we do get those messages and we just have to listen.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we have to end on that. I do get these downloads, and it's usually when I'm driving or when I'm not trying to think about anything or figure something out. And that's 100%. We're more open or working out all
Absolutely.
of those things. Oh my gosh, I love this.
Absolutely.
Okay, amazing. We have to end on that note. Okay,
Okay,
well,
perfect.
thank you so much, Matt. I'm really excited for the show, and I can't wait to see you
Thank you. I really
in
appreciate it. Good job on all the podcasts. I'm a
June.
regular listener, so.
Thank you. I'll see. So to the listeners, just a reminder to go do something that lights you up today. Okay, bye.